No, it's a real joy and delight for Vanessa and I to be with you guys this morning, worshiping him, exalting his name, the name above every name, all powers and dominions. Well, how wonderful to declare that. How important to declare that over our own lives, over our nation, over the nations. Hallelujah. Better not get into that one. But it is a joy to be back here. We were, I think, must be 2 years since we were last here in Newbury. But we've been coming over the years at odd intervals to this church. And it's wonderful to see so many new folks here. And what a crowd of young people went out just now. I haven't seen so many children in the Sunday school for some time as we've gone around the churches. That was a delight to see. And we've known Pastors Phil and Caroline, must be all of 30 years, when he was still in shorts, you know, and was about half the man he is today. Oh, there we are. Yeah. I did something the other day. I bought an apple from Tesco's, and I did something, you know, I'll be 88 in a couple of weeks' time, in a few weeks' time. And I did something I've never done in my 88 years, and that is I counted how many seeds there were in the apple that I were eating. And there were only four, and I stuck them on a bit of paper here. Can you see them? I don't know if you can see them at the back, but, you know, as I counted those seeds, an old saying came back to me from a preacher, 50 years ago, great preacher, Dr. Robert Schuller, and he said this: any old fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. We have a grown-up daughter, but I remember when she was 4 or 5 years old, she took an apple seed and put it in a flower pot, and behold, it grew, and we've still got it in the garden, still in a pot, because I don't want a great big apple tree, and our garden's not big enough for apple trees, but so it's in a pot, and it's stunted, but it's there. But 200 years ago, there was a girl called Mary Ann Brailsford, and she put up in Nottinghamshire, she sowed some apple seeds in the ground, and the fruit that was the result of that apple tree was so great that a local farmer asked if he could take some cuttings to grow apples like it himself. And the farmer whose land it was says, well, you'll only get permission to do that if you call the apples after my name. And his name was Brambley. And if you want to buy a cooking apple in Tesco's or Morrison's or Sainsbury's, 9 times out of 10, if you're buying a cooking apple, you're going to buy a Brambley cooking apple. The EU had problems with it back in 1963 because it was not regulation size. It was too big. It's a beautiful cooking apple. It's a favorite apple in Japan, believe it or not. But that tree that Mary Ann planted all those 200 years ago still survives today up in Nottinghamshire. But any old fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. And I want to read the scripture this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but I'm going to read it from the Living, from the Passion Translation rather. And it goes like this. I can almost hear someone saying, how can the dead come back to life? And what kind of body will they have when they are resurrected? Foolish man. Don't you know that what you sow in the ground doesn't germinate unless it dies? And what you sow is not the body that will come into being, but the bare seed. And it's hard to tell whether it's wheat or some other seed. But when it dies, God gives it a new form, a body to fulfill his purpose. And he sees to it that each seed gets a new body of its own and becomes the plant he designed it to be. All flesh is not identical. Animals have one flesh, human beings another. Birds have their distinct flesh, fish another. In the same way, there are earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. There's the splendor of the celestial body and a different one for the earthly. There's the radiance of the sun and the differing radiance for the moon and for the stars. Even stars differ in their shining. And that's how it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in decay, but it'll be raised in immortality. It's sown in humiliation, but it'll be raised in glorification. It's sown in weakness, but it's going to be raised in power. If there's a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. For it is written, the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual didn't come first. The natural precedes the spiritual. The first man from the dust of the earth. The second man is the Lord Jehovah from the realm of heaven. The first one made from dust has a race of people just like him, who are also made from the dust. The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him. Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust, but now let us, friends, carry the likeness of the man of heaven. Wow. What an incredible passage of scripture that is, isn't it? I have a hobby, and it's gardening. I love gardening. And I was looking at my garden this week, and I noticed there were 12 different kinds of flowers already in bloom. But it's nothing at the moment to what it will be in June, July. And I remember a couple of years ago throwing a handful of hollyhock seeds into a little patch of the garden. I didn't even dig it over or try to bury them or anything. I just took a chance on it. I just threw them down in the corner. And behold, last summer, I had the most beautiful hollyhocks come up in that corner of the garden. And listen to this. They reach 10 foot 6 inches high. I mean, that's high. That's as high as that pillar there, isn't it? You know, they were that big. From one tiny little seed. I don't know if any of you can see that seed there, but that's on that bit of paper there. There is a holly. You won't see that at the back, but there's a hollyhock seed on there. Quite a big, ugly old seed, really. But from that one little seed came such a beautiful, huge flower. I threw down this year, last end of the all summer, I threw down some foxgloves. Now, you might think that's not a very big seed, but a foxglove is a seed is 100 times smaller than that. If I put one on your hand, you'd have a job to see it. It is so tiny. And yet that a tiny little seed like that can grow up to be a beautiful flower sometimes this sort of high. If a seed goes into the ground and dies, it can bear such fruit. I was reading in the papers this week about the great giant redwoods of America. They say there's only about 80,000 left of them. But they said in England we have 500,000 redwoods. How about that? But of course they are the biggest living creature and the oldest living creature in the world. Isn't that amazing? You know, one of those giant cedars can live, well, in America, evidently, some of them are over 3,000 years old. I mean, in this country, they're only 200 or 300 because they didn't sow them till then. But they'll go on living if they get a chance. But one cedar can produce enough timber to build 100 houses. How about that? Just one tree. You know, from one tiny little seed, no bigger than that hollyhock seed, from such a tiny seed can grow such a magnificent tree. What a, and it says, how are the dead raised? What do they look like? Friends, when we die, when we draw our last breath, and we enter, go from time into eternity, what is it going to be like? Well, we haven't got a clue, have we? I mean, we couldn't begin to. In my garden, I've got a little pond. It's only, we got a family joke. We call it the lake. It's about this size. And it's got one goldfish in it. I call Gollum because it's not even gold. It's white. It's a survivor, but it's a bit of a pest, really. But anyway, I've tried talking to it, but it doesn't hold any intelligent conversations. But, if I try to describe to that goldfish what the world was like that I live in, there would be nothing I could compare it with for him. The beauty of the garden, the house I live in, how I jumped in a car and drove this morning all the way to Newbury. I can jump on an aeroplane. How my mobile phone works. I mean, none of it. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? There's no way I can understand, you can understand, our corporate understanding could never take in what we're going to be like when we leave this world, eh? If a seed of the wheat goes into the ground and dies, it can bear so much fruit, more than anything we can ever begin to know or understand. last week I celebrated with my family my great-grandson's first birthday. And he's a bright little spark. His grandma thinks he's going to be taking his A-levels, I think, at the end of the year. But he's just one. And, if I try to explain to my little great-grandson, his potential, that he could be an author of best-selling books, he could write music, he could, create a ship that could go to Mars, he could find a cure to cancer. There's no limits to his potential, is there? But if I try to explain that to him, well, it would just fail us, wouldn't it? And for us to begin to understand what life in eternity is like, because, not because of our works, but because of his, that we're celebrating over Easter, the great work, the finished work of the cross that we're rejoicing in, because we have eternal life, life that begins now and goes on, and it's beyond our wildest imagination what's lined up for us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God hasn't entered in your heart. What God has prepared for you, prepared for me. I remember many years ago, it was when my parents were alive, so that's many, many years ago. I remember visiting, they retired to Sidmouth in Devon, and I remember one night going down there, and I went out in the evening on my own and just had a walk along the beach. And it was a beautiful night. The sea was like a mill pond, and the moon was shining a silvery pathway across the water. And, there was the eternity of the stars out over the ocean, because there's not so much light pollution out there. Amazing. And I don't know, maybe it was just, it was very romantic, really, except I was all on my own. I guess it was the eternity of the stars. And I don't know, God just spoke into my heart and said, Brian, I've got so much lined up for you to do in my eternal purposes and plans. And for the first time in my life, I started getting excited about going to heaven, because I knew I wouldn't be sitting on clouds playing harps all day long. That I have a destiny. I have work to do in his purposes and plan, and it's going to be so mind-blowing beyond anything I could begin to know or understand or enter into. All this life, the ups and downs, the mountains, the valleys, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the victories, the sorrows. You know, all of this life is like a living on this life at this moment. It's like heaven's womb. We're being prepared right now. I don't know what you've been through this week, but it's all preparation for your eternal destiny. That but begins, you know, we have eternal life. It starts now and goes on. And it's beyond our wildest imagination what God has got lined up for us. What are we like? You know, I sometimes see artists sometimes make efforts to draw a picture of heaven. And usually you see all these serried ranks of angels around the throne or whatever. But I'm sure it's not going to be like that at all, friends, because they all look the same in the pictures. Have you noticed that, those angels? They all look similar, don't they? But God says he's going to do everything. He does everything differently. I mean, look at you lot here this morning. There's not one of you the same, is there? And there's how many? 7 billion of us in this world, and he makes us all different. And that, you know, there's so much variety out there in nature, isn't there? Millions of varieties of fungi and, you know, so on, fauna and flora. God doesn't like to do things the same, does he? Even it says in the reading that we had, he spoke about the stars. The psalmist sings, doesn't he? That God counts the stars, assigns each one a name. Isn't that amazing? You know, they all differ in their brightness, we just read together in Corinthians. That they all differ. I mean, how many stars out there in space? Well, astronomers haven't really much idea, but they talk about in our galaxy alone, some 100 to 400 billion stars just in our one little galaxy. And about our neighboring galaxy, Andromeda, has about, which is about 2.5 million light years away. Get your head around that. You know, that has another billions and billions of stars, maybe even more than us. And then there are another 50 galaxies that some kind of do a sort of gravitational dance around our galaxy. But that's only the beginning, isn't it? The astronomers say there are at least 10, you know, we got 7 billion people in this world, and they say there's enough galaxies for 10 galaxies for every person in this world. And you think of all the billions of stars in each, you know. Wow. What am I talking about? I haven't got a clue, have I? But they're all different. Do you understand? So when we get to heaven, I wonder what we're going to be like. You know, maybe Phil will be some kind of shimmering thing that keeps changing color. Caroline, she might be about 30 foot tall with halos and all kinds of wings coming out everywhere. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about, do I? Haven't got a clue, eh? We don't know. But it says, let me read it again. There's a radiance for the sun and a different radiance for the moon, for the stars. Even stars differ in their shining. That's how it will be with the resurrection of the dead. But you get that, of the resurrection of the dead. You can't have a resurrection without a death. You got that bit? You can't have a resurrection without a death. We cannot enjoy the glories of heaven without first dying. And Jesus said, except a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You know, friend, all I've come here this morning that's in my heart, and I'm not just preaching to you, I want to preach to myself as well this morning. I want to excite you. I want to inspire you. I want to entreat you to die. Not physically, yeah? Because you have no understanding. I have no understanding of the fruit that can be ours if we learn how to die to ourselves and let God do his work in our lives. Yeah? Any old fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. What beauty, what joy, what wonders, what supernatural miracles can come out of your life and mine if we only just learn how to die, really. And you learned it to a degree when you became a Christian, didn't you? When you were converted, when you were first born again, because you had to die to some things, didn't you? You had to die to your own way of getting to heaven, didn't you? You had to just trust God. You know, there was a kind of dying at that moment. That's what happened when you were baptized in water. You were illustrating how you died to one life, and now when you came out of the water, you're resurrected to a new life. So we do know something about dying, don't we? But friends, the problem with so many Christians, the kind of what I call yo-yo Christians, up and down, up and down. You know, instead of going from victory to victory, they seem to go from defeat to defeat. They never really enter into the joy and the victory and the abundance that Jesus Christ died on that cross to purchase for us. He said, I'm come that you might have life and life more abundant. And he wants us to walk out of here this day living an abundant life. But unless a seed of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. It just doesn't do anything. It just stays a little seed. I was picking up a saying of Catherine of Siena. She was a monk in the 14th century, and she said this: the way to heaven is heaven because Jesus is the way. Get hold of that one. The way, are you on your way to heaven? The way to heaven is heaven because Jesus is the way, because where Jesus is, that's heaven. Wow. Friends, there's more to your Christianity than you're enjoying at the moment. And, you know, I'm pointing my finger at you, but I've got three pointing back at myself, right? Huh? There's more. So much more. But I don't know, we find it so hard to sort of surrender to God. Some of us even think God might do the dirty on us if we sort of really say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. Scares the living daylights out of us, doesn't it? What is God going to ask me to do? You know, and sometimes we do sort of lay our lives on the altar. And if you're anything, you know, we're all tarred with the same brush. You know, Lord, I die to all of that stuff. I'm going to live for you from now on. And then we sort of crawl off the altar, don't we? We put ourselves on the altar and we crawl off again. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He had to every day learn how to sort of give up and let God in his life. And he says to the Romans, doesn't he? He says, I beseech you by the mercies, the goodness, the abundance of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice that you might prove. What is that? Good. You get that? Good, perfect, acceptable will of God. God, wow, that's what it's about, the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And friends, the potential in this room this morning is absolutely mind-boggling. You know, if a seed of wheat falls into the ground, it will bear much fruit. Yes. There's so much more, isn't there? I've been a Christian now 60 in January, just gone 68 years. Anybody beat me out there? That was before the majority of you were in a twinkle in your father's eye, isn't it? And I tell you this, I just know after 68 years of a relationship with Jesus, I still feel I'm just scratching the surface of what there is in Jesus Christ. There is so much more. Jesus said, didn't he? He spoke about John the Baptist. He said, there's not a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. That was an incredible saying. There wasn't a greater than John the Baptist. That's me. He was greater than David and Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, Moses, you name it. There wasn't a greater than John the Baptist. And yet, he says, the least, the very least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said it. And his word is eternal. You know, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. Friends, wow! There's so much more! Amen. Isn't there? And friends, I don't know about you, but you know, I want to bite my own tongue when I say these sort of things because, you know, I've got to learn to die as well, haven't I? But friends, if I can only die to the stuff that holds me back from being what God wants me to be, amen? There's so much more, isn't there? Jesus talking to disciples one day says, some of you here, you won't see death till you see the kingdom of God come in power. You want to see the kingdom of God come in supernatural power? Because I do. I don't feel I sell God well if I don't move in the supernatural, really, do you? You know, because he's a supernatural God. He's not a natural God. He's supernatural. And if we're going to demonstrate him, it's not enough to live a good life. We got to live a supernatural life, yeah? Wow. He's arguing one day with the scribes and Pharisees. And he says, you don't know the scriptures. They knew the scriptures and better than the whole lot of us here together, probably. They knew the scriptures inside out, upside down. But he says, you don't know. You don't experience. You don't have faith in it. You don't see what it's saying. You don't know the scriptures or the power of God. Glory, hallelujah. There's something to enter into, friends. And except a seed of the wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. So what is Jesus saying to you this morning? What is he saying to me this morning? He's saying, come on, come on, come on. Come and die with me. Come on, let's have some fun. Let's die together. Because any old fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. What ugly little seed in your life can you sow? Maybe even this morning. Father, Holy Spirit, I just pray right now for my dear brothers and sisters here in Newbury. Lord, Holy Ghost, right now I just pray for a Holy Ghost revelation of something that you want to put your finger on right now where they need to give up and let God in their lives. Give us revelation, Lord. Give me revelation. What is it we need to die to? I want to die to all that holds me back. That gets in the way of that life and life more abundantly that Jesus died for. Yeah? Isn't that what it's about? You know, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus is ours. I mean, just supposing today I could do it easily, put £100 million in Pastor's bank tomorrow morning. But then Pastor Phil just carried on living his life just as he's done in the past up to now. Doesn't buy any special clothes, doesn't take Caroline to Tiffany's and buy some beautiful jewelry. He doesn't go and buy a yacht and sail off to the Caribbean. You know, he just carries on life. Just, you know, same old car, same old house, you know, same old holidays. Never used what was there. Friends, we have £100 million in our spiritual bank account. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus is ours, but we don't know how to get hold of it, do we? And somehow we got to learn to die so that we can live. Yes? Die to our unbelief. It's a biggie, isn't it? Die to your unbelief. You all know Philippians 4:13, don't you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love it in the Passion Translation. I find the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. How about that one? I find the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. That's what it means in Philippians 4:30. Yeah? Get hold of that. Can we say it together? Yeah? I find
the strength
of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Just think about your difficulties you face this week. Eh? Let's say it again, shall we? I find the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Oh, you said it. Friends, get hold of that. Whatever stopping you believe that, you need to die to it. Yeah? Yes? That's where you're catching me this morning. Jesus said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, what does it mean to lose our lives to gain your life? What's Jesus talking about? Well, the word life there that's in our Bibles in the original Greek is the word psyche, where we get the word psychology. It means your personality, your selfhood, what it is that makes you, you. Jesus is saying, really, don't build your identity on gaining things in this world, or don't find your identity in designer clothes and posh cars or Rolex watches or big houses or big salaries or whatever it might be. Don't make your identity in achieving degree after degree or holding great power and sway with other people. Don't die to that kind of identity and live to the fact that God loves you. That Jesus Christ, God so loved you that he gave himself fully on that cross. That's where your identity is. We're coming up to Easter right now, isn't it? That's, you know, friends, if we want to go out there and live it as God wants us to live us this week, we need a Holy Ghost revelation that, you know, that you know God loves you. If you, you know, that's where your identity is. If you lose your life in finding your identity in some other thing, perhaps I've lost 2 stone this month, you know, I mean, you could make that the reason for your living, you know, but is it really what it's about? You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all those things. There's nothing wrong with Rolex watches or, you know, nice cars or nice houses. None of that. But friends, you know, our identity has not got to be in those. It's got to be in him. To know that you're loved, you know, that his bounty is upon you. His victory is yours. Come and die with me. Eh? Talking about the stars, now I better finish. I've never studied astronomy, but I just read a few things. You know, there's one star out there in our galaxy. The astronomers call it S2. It's the fastest thing they've discovered yet in the universe. It circles around in an orbit at 100 million miles an hour. It's the fastest thing. You know, it's spinning around like this. Now, by rights, it should, at that speed, it shouldn't stay in our galaxy. It should fly off out into outer space somewhere, and don't know where it will end up because it's going so fast. But something keeps it in orbit, and there's nothing to see. They call it a black hole. Well, we don't know what black holes are, but they're gravitate, according to the astronomers, their gravitational pull of a black star, of a black hole, is so strong that they pull other stars into them, other matter from space into them. And they, so great is the gravitational pull, they even pull light in, so light can't escape. That's why they're a black hole. And the trouble is, friends, in your life and mine, sometimes we have black holes that have such a strong gravitational pull, they hold us back from what God wants us to be. He's got so much more for you. He's so much more for me. And it's learning how to die to those character defects, because that's what those black holes often are. Character defects that hold us back from our true identity. Amen? Any old fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in the seed if it goes into the ground and dies. Wow. Shall we pray together right now? What ugly little seeds are you going to sow this morning? Ask God to show you something right now. Hey, great things. Friends, this is not just another Sunday morning. This could be life-changing stuff. This is so exciting. It's not like going to the dentist, you know, all dread. It's the greatest thing you can do is to give up and let God in your life. We might sing in a minute, I surrender all. But don't sing it as though you're going off to the dentist and it's all terrible and awful. This is glorious. I surrender all. Wow, what better thing can I do than to give up and let God in my life? Father, I just pray right now, as people, heads are bowed and people are praying and are thinking, God, I just ask that people will just have an understanding that they'll see some little area where they say, okay, God, I'm going to make you Lord of my life. We've been singing that you're Lord over all, that you're Lord over the all powers and dominions. Lord, we want to make you, we can't say Jesus is Lord if he's not Lord. The early church, when they used to greet one another, they didn't say hi there or whatever it might be. Have a good day. Peace to you. Whatever. They used to cry out across the street, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Shall we make him Lord right now in our lives? Hey. As I'm standing here right now, I don't know the implications of my own life. But I know this. The best is yet to come. At nearly 88 years of age, I know that whether it's a few days, few months, few years, whatever, they can be the best years of my life. They can be the most exciting years of my life. Can you grab that? Wow. Yes, Lord. You want to say yes, Lord? Say it to him right now. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Come on. If God is just speaking to you about significant, you know, don't just do it just because everybody else is doing it. But if God is just speaking to you about areas of your life now where you ought to sort of say, okay, God, I'm going to give up on this one. I'm going to let you. I'm going to die in this area of my life. If God's speaking to you that way, why don't you just stand up where you are just to show God you mean in business today, and let him, it just as a sign that you know, you're ready to let God in your life. Yeah. God, do some miracles here this morning, Lord. Miracles. Miracles in these lives. Chandara baraka basondo. Ki baraka sandara baraka sandara. It's all right, don't hurry. God's not in a hurry. Are you ready to die from your wrong excuse for existence? What's your excuse for existence, huh? I remember the Archbishop of Canterbury, one day I was talking to him and he said, well, what's your excuse for existence? It's a good question. What's your excuse for existence? Is it the wrong answer? Is there some character defect that God's putting his finger on right now? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Whoo. Oh, Jesus, you've got so much more for us all. Yeah. G.K. Chesterton said, when Jesus called his disciples, he called them to be three things: completely fearless, absolutely happy, and constantly in trouble. Are you ready for that? That's what he promises. Let's sing that song, shall we, Vanessa? You all know it's a very old hymn.
Oh,
but
Jesus, I surrender. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him
in his presence. Daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender.